Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to Podcast 91 of Strength for Today's Pastor. The title of today's subject is The Beautiful Kingdom of God, Maintaining Health and Unity in a Tumultuous Year. So we're with Pastor Matt Valencia, who's the lead pastor of Regeneration Church in Scotts Valley, California. Matt's been in Scotts Valley since 2012, and before that, he was the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel, Gilroy, California, and started that church in 2001. Matt is married to his wife, Deanna, and they have five children together. And Matt, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to talk to you again and just to be here.
Yeah, amen. It's always good to talk to you, Matt, and we've enjoyed a friendship for many years now, and we just were congratulating each other, actually, on the Dodgers' victory in the World Series.
Yeah, I wish your listeners could see my Dodger jersey, but that might trigger some of them.
Well, I know, and you are living in Northern California, and you're actually in San Francisco Giant territory, and I was commenting to you earlier that, wow, you must be a glutton for punishment. Now you're going against the grain with your baseball choice and going against the grain in relationship to Christianity and everything else, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, that's okay. You know, we're on the winning side this year as far as the World Series is concerned. And we know we're on the winning side as concerning the kingdom of God. That's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Matt, a few weeks ago, you led a discussion for the local Santa Cruz County Pastors Fellowship. And before we dive into the topic of that discussion, which we've already announced, I want us to talk about our relationship with other churches and pastors. I know that every pastor is individual, of course, and has his own individual preferences on that. Some really are into meeting together with other pastors and collaborating perhaps even with other churches. Others are very hesitant. Others are actually not in favor of it at all. There are many different positions. But I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And so since you've gotten involved in Santa Cruz County, and in the light of the fact that Santa Cruz is Santa Cruz, and you and I know what that means. What motivated you to get involved with the Santa Cruz County Pastors Fellowship?
Well, it was really, in John 17, Jesus is praying, and this high priestly prayer, I think it's interesting, Bill, when I was growing up, when I first became a Christian, I thought about apologetics and how when I started understanding what truth was, I felt like if I could teach other people and show them something true, then they would listen. But it's interesting in Jesus's prayer, he said, I pray that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I really think that that's the heart of God for us to be unified in Christ. I think that it also is something that shows the outside world that says, why should I believe in Christianity when there's so much fighting amongst Christians? They're just as divisive as anyone else. And if they can't get along, then why should we even consider that something to look into? So I think that that's something that's always been in my heart, whether as a pastor or even before as a pastor. I don't know if there's anything that grieves me more than when Christians are divided and against one another. So I just felt like that was part of the heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about unity now, we're talking about a biblical unity. So how would you define a biblical unity in relationship to involvement like this?
So when we get together, for example, with the pastors in Santa Cruz County, there's a lot of differences. There are differences in eschatology, in our views of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But one thing that we hold in common is the Apostles' Creed. So Orthodox Christians, we hold that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God, so we could go to the Word of God together. We could even have discussions and even debates. One thing that drew me in was another pastor named Jason Farley, who pastored a church that I think for the most part they may have been cessationist. I'm not sure when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but when it comes to eschatology, he's a preterist, and you know, I'm a premillennial, pre-trib rapture guy, and so we would joke and we would talk about these things. And he invited me, Bill, when I first came here, to do a Bible study with him at UC Santa Cruz. And when it came to areas of difference, we would both give our point of view biblically and kind of model for these students what it looks like for Christians to be able to hold convictions without fighting against one another. So in that biblical unity, we look at orthodoxy, and those are the things that we all have in common. And there's another group of pastors that meet that are really more ecumenical. They invite people of other faiths together or people that don't really believe in the deity of Christ. They've broken off from our group, and we've kind of broken off from their group in a cordial way, but just realizing we're on different teams, so to speak. But I think just even having those conversations is healthy in a world like that we live in today, where if people don't feel like they could come with their honest questions, they're just going to Google it. They'll go to someone outside of the church instead of having those healthy conversations within the body of Christ. And we kind of want to model that for them.
That's such a good point, and what a great model. So you're actually, in that example, it seems to me that you're helping the students learn how to think.
Right, right. And not only how to think, but also how to listen. I think that has been, if I look back at my early years in ministry, I'd say the first decade, I knew so much in that first decade. Mm-hmm. It's funny, in this second decade, that the things that I'm convinced of as far as Orthodox Christianity are only stronger, but on the peripheral things, how much more that I'm not willing to make that a sticking point and a point of division, and also listening to where other people are coming from. So rather than just knowing what I believe so well that when someone has something different that I would attack that, I want to listen to how did you come to that conclusion, and really with an open heart and an attitude of friendship. So as they're telling me how they came to their conclusion, I still may disagree, but it helps me to understand, and it helps them to understand where I'm coming from as well when we look to scriptures together.
So what I'm hearing as I'm listening to you, Matt, is I'm hearing you say that among the group members of this Santa Cruz County Ministers or Pastors Association, you have respect for one another, but not conformity with one another.
Right. One thing that I've been saying lately is that unity, and this is within our pastors association, but it's also within our church, unity is not uniformity. If we all have to be uniform in all of our views, then I would be the only one here, because I'm the Dodger fan, I'm the 49er fan, and I'm the Warriors fan. You know, like we have to be able to come to a place where there's going to be some differences on non-essential matters. And then even in the essential matters, to treat people with love and respect, even if they are against us.
Well, as you probably remember in our conversations in the past, I helped to start a fellowship of a ministerial association actually on the Monterey Peninsula when I was there in my first mm-hmm. pastorate. And we went into that with certain guidelines and policies. And we wanted interested pastors to know what it was, what that we were doing, what it wasn't. We had the same situation that you describe. There was a group that wasn't like us, that had their own ministerial association, that were liberal and let anybody in. We didn't want that. Mm-hmm. We wanted an evangelical fellowship. So what's the, in that sense, what's the Santa Cruz group like? What are the ground rules for meetings, if there are any, so to speak?
Bill, it's really morphed in the last, I would say, 8 years, 6 years or so, into a real healthy spot. In the past, the desire was to get the whole kingdom together. So it was Christian leaders, nonprofit organizations, parachurch organizations as well. And what happened is pastors started to drop out of that fellowship because they didn't necessarily feel a safety to be able to share their own burdens. At times, well-meaning ministries that are very vital would try to get pastors to do their program, and it felt like pastors were being pitched in some ways. And sometimes that didn't happen, but pastors just felt that way. So we had to do two different groups, and that was a hard division. We didn't want to offend people. I think some people might have been offended, but we said pastors need a lane. We need a place where we could come and just share our hearts together. there's a camaraderie, an understanding of what we're going through. And so because of that, we wanted to create this safety net for pastors to be able to have a container. So our three things is that we get together once a month for pastoral competency. So one time a person will lead on devotions, a devotion or a little lesson. It could be someone from our group or outside of our group on growing as a pastor. The second thing is relational connection. There are times, one time it was great. We had probably, I would say 30 people together, 15 pastors and their wives, just having dinner with no agenda. And it was so rich. The friendships that have started from that, where people outside of my movement, you know, as a Calvary Chapel, like I consider these brothers just really, really good friends. And then the third thing is soul care. It's, we want to minister to each individual. The heart behind it is healthy pastors help churches to become healthy. And if we want to help the churches in Santa Cruz County and we want to help the community itself, one of the best things that we could do is to devote our time into helping pastors to be healthy in their own spiritual walk with Jesus.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. We had in Monterey some things going on too. There was an Easter sunrise service that was attended by hundreds and hundreds of people. Somehow the liberal group co-opted that thing. And so that year they were talking about butterflies and trees and flowers, but they didn't talk about Jesus at all or about the resurrection. So the next year, somehow they dropped the ball and there was nobody to do that service. In fact, Easter Sunday morning came and there was no one to do that service. So one of our pastors got an emergency call from the city of Pacific Grove and said, wow, you got to put something together real quick. So there was an emergency phone tree that happened and everybody rushed out there with an impromptu sound system and everything. And still hundreds of people, almost like on autopilot, showed up for that service.
Awesome.
And that's when we regained it again. And then the next year, the liberal group wanted it back because it was theirs. And so I organized a meeting and we sat down with them and I said, okay, so tell me then, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead a literal historical event? Did he rise from the dead bodily, and is he in a body today, and is he alive today? And they fudged and hemmed and hawed and they couldn't answer. And I said, well, then I don't see why you need to be part of what we're doing. We believe in those things. You don't. So we're going to continue with the service. And they were permanently removed from that event. But that was the dividing line like you're talking about. I mean, there are the essentials and there are the non-essentials. And you start messing around with who Jesus is, you're messing around with the gospel. And if you're messing around with the gospel, you're not Orthodox at all.
Yeah, the Apostles' Creed takes care of so much of that. You know, just looking at, you know, we believe in God, you know, Father Almighty and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, you know, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius, you know, all of those things that are a part of Orthodox Christianity. And I think, Bill, within that, there has really become a beauty that one pastor, he had meningitis, spinal meningitis. And so he was out for months and he called me and he has different secondary issues, the non-essentials. They're still important, but not essential to the Christian faith. And he said, Matt, you know, I'm sick. My elders, one of them sick, a couple of them are out of town. And so would you send someone to come? And this was on a Thursday. Is there someone that you could send over to our church to teach? Because even though we differ on these other things, I know that you're a Bible guy and I trust you because we've gotten to know each other.
All right.
And that was such a beautiful thing. And I just think that when those things happen, it's what God says in his word in Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's a pleasantness in that kind of fellowship that is like when you go on a missions trip outside of the United States and you come up to other Christians, they may even speak a different language. You're speaking through an interpreter. You have different styles of worship, and yet your hearts are knit together. And I'm experiencing the same thing with the body of Christ here in Santa Cruz.
Oh, that's great. It kind of reminds me, you know, the influence that we can have with each other, you know, back and forth, both ways.
Right.
You know, it's beautiful. But You know this story probably, but before you came to Regeneration Church, it was Calvary Chapel Santa Cruz, And I was the interim pastor for a couple of years. And then before that, David Johnston, who had started the church. Well, David had been meeting with the local pastors with this annual getaway thing. And through the trust and through the things that were shared at that particular meeting, one of the local churches in Capitola that did not want to be affiliated or connected with their denomination any longer. They were a little frustrated with the way the denomination was operating in their particular region. They reached out to Calvary Chapel, Santa Cruz, do you have anybody that can come and teach the Bible? And through that whole process, that guy who had been the pastor felt like, you know, I'm not really called to be a senior pastor. So can you appoint somebody to be the pastor? And now that church is a Calvary Chapel. Not that that's the purpose of having fellowship with other pastors, you know, that we could convert right. them to Calvary Chapel or anything. But it happened. And my point is what you're talking about, the connectedness that takes place, the trust that occurs, and the joining together of hearts that's so healthy.
Yeah, that doesn't happen, Bill, as you know, unless there's a relationship that precedes it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it feels competitive or corporate, and it would be difficult for a church to say, hey, we're just going to let someone that we don't know come in and pastor us. But when there's a relationship that's built, and then there's a trust that's there.
Yeah, that takes place. We had a prayer meeting that would meet, and it was weekly for a while. And only senior pastors would come, and there were usually about 12 to 15 of us. It was 1 hour long, and the agenda was one personal prayer request, one ministry prayer request, and you can only spend a maximum of a minute and a half or so to explain your requests. And so we did that, and then we prayed for each other. And it was really cool because great things took place in answer to prayer. But another cool thing was that those that were on the conservative side of things in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, they had to learn not to be freaked out by the ones that were more Pentecostal in their orientation, who it was hard for them to control themselves, you know, and they wanted to speak in tongues, you know. And but the speaking in tongues group, they started respecting the position of the more conservative group, and so they quieted things down significantly just because of their love for one another, and it was wonderful to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good thing.
Yeah. So how's it been fruitful for the pastors to meet in Santa Cruz, and if so, in what ways, Matt?
Well, the relationships that have gotten started, first of all, on the fellowship part of it, and just praying for one another. Getting together and realizing that I think it took a while for pastors to feel safe coming, that there was not an agenda. We're other than to glorify Christ and to be unified in fellowship, we're not trying to convert people into our particular doctrine. We're not trying to promote events. Those relationships have resulted in some of those things. A beautiful story of some of the pastors getting together. One pastor lost their lease. Mm. And they, young church, a lot of skateboarders. And so they didn't have a lot of money. And this church that had been in existence, had owned their building for decades, had shrunk down to maybe a dozen people over the years. That pastor approached the other pastor of the you know, church plant and said, hey, we have a building, come and check it out. So he was checking it out, and the church planter said, man, I don't know if we could afford this. And the pastor that was at the older church said, hey, how about free? And how about we don't lease it to you? How about you guys can have the building?
Wow.
They gave them the church building. It was a kingdom thing. He saw a young pastor coming in to preach the gospel, knew it wasn't about denominationalism, knew it was about Jesus, and just said, we want to support you in doing this. And the people that we have left, our heart is to reach this area with the gospel. So it's resulted in things like that. There have been other churches that their sound system has gone down, and other churches have come alongside. And then most recently, 2020 has been such a volatile year politically with COVID, what people's views are. And then we had the fires that hit. So we not only experienced the COVID, and then there were protests you know, Black Lives Matters, but then also other organizations protesting, and then trying to understand where people are coming from and listen and navigating through that. Then we had Sergeant Damon Gusweiler, a Santa Cruz Sheriff Sergeant, get killed by someone from another group called the Boogaloos. And then we had a vigil for him. And so it was volatile. There were a lot of tears. There was a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. One person from our church, his cousin was one of the police officers that got shot by the Boogaloos, and it was very crazy. Then the Santa Cruz fires hit, and all of a sudden I'm making phone calls asking people, hey, if you need a place to stay, you could come to the church. And the first night I think we had 6, and then we had 17 the next night, then we had 50 to 60 the next night. Mm-hmm. And what was happening is the body of Christ was saying, hey, we'll take care of food, we'll take care of these things. And then their city got evacuated, and they had to be part of the evacuees. So our church became this evacuation center impromptu, and my family and I, we were here as well for, I think, 18 days. The other churches in the area, because of this relational connection, started to become our supply line. They just showed up with water. They just showed up with food. Another pastor called and said, hey, we have vegetables, and brought them over, and we had vegetable stew. And then there was a church down the street from us that they had some evacuees, and there was a pizza place in town that never got to open because of COVID. They were going to open in March of all times. Mm. And they heard about what we were doing, and they brought us pizzas. They brought so many. We called the other church and said, hey, we could feed you guys dinner today. And we brought them dinner. And it was amazing to be on these calls, Bill, with the city council, with county supervisors, with government officials, hearing what the churches are doing together. One of our city council members just started to weep on this Zoom conference and said, I'm sorry, I'm very emotional. You guys are housing more people than the county is housing at this point in time. Mm. And this is without any government aid. It's the beautiful thing is that with the government, then seeing what we're doing, saying, hey, how can we help you? You know, how can we come alongside? And for that small amount of time, Bill, it was like, here's one story. My daughter, who is in high school, is going through anxiety, depression, distance learning, all these things that are happening, just real difficult. And I asked her how she was doing. I wanted to check in with my own kids. I said, how are you doing? And she goes, actually, not too good. And she started thinking about the future. And she said, I don't know if I even want to bring kids into this world someday. Hmm. So I was trying to describe to her the beauty of the kingdom of God. And I was saying to her that there is a city within a city. You know, there's this city, this county, Santa Cruz, but then there's this church inside of it. And as I'm talking to her about it, this couple shows up at the church. And the husband looks like the videos that you saw after 9/11. He's literally covered with ashes. Hmm. He comes, he knocks on the door. I open the door, and he just looks shell-shocked. His eyes are open wide. I invite him in. He sits down, and he goes, can we stay here? And I said, yes. And I put my hand on his shoulder, and they weren't from our church. And I said, hey, look at me for a second. He looked at me, and I said, hey, I want you to know you're safe. You're loved, and we're going to feed you, and we're going to take care of you, and you're alive, and it's okay. He just started sobbing. His shoulders were heaving. He leaned on his wife, and he's hugging her. I pray over him, and I look over at my daughter, who's standing right next to me, and I said, that's the beauty of the kingdom of God.
Wow.
And we got to see that. We got to see people that were sacrificially giving and helping and serving. And it was this beautiful thing, Bill. During that time, nobody was asking, who are you voting for? There was no one saying, hey, I'll help you if you don't stand for this organization or you're not for that thing. And so unity is not uniformity. We still have those strong convictions, and we don't compromise those things. But showing love is something that all of us can do. And when we do that, and people want to know, as it says in, you know, Peter's epistle, what is the reason for the hope that's within you? There's the best apologetic. Mm. It's the reason for the hope that's within us. We had people from our church whose homes burned down, and yet they came and said, how can we provide one of the meals? Can we cook tonight? Can we help out? So it was such an amazing thing, and the beauty of Jesus as King and the kingdom of God was front and center. Today, after our podcast, the mayor and the chief of police are coming to our church, not to tell us we can't worship. They're giving us a city accommodation for helping out during the fires. And they said, hey, we're going to come and we just want to say thank you. And we just want them to know it's because of the love of Jesus. Wow. That's our motivation.
Mm. Yeah, if you can, could you send me a picture of that? I'd like to put that in the podcast somehow.
Yeah. They'll probably make me take off my Dodger jersey, but that's all right.
we'll take your picture if you'll put on a Giants jersey, but forget it other than that. Right. That's a tremendous story. What a visual picture for your daughter. My goodness, what a tremendous, powerful thing that she got to see there.
Yeah, and I think there were people that were evacuated here. There's a couple, the husband was a part of the Santa Cruz Orchestra. He's a neighbor of someone that goes to our church. So they said, hey, you can come to the church. And he and his wife came. And after their insurance paid for them to go to a hotel, they said, is it okay if we just stay here? I mean, we had tents in the sanctuary. We had the children's ministry rooms were like family rooms. But they wanted to stay because of the love in the community. You know, we had people come to Christ as a result of this. And people come back to church that had not been in church. Because they saw the unity, not just of our church, but the church all together ministering to the needs of the body. And then even when we were here, the churches got together and put out signs and lined the streets with balloons and signs saying, thank you to first responders. We're praying for you. Thank you for saving our home. It was just truly an amazing time.
Mm. It's going to be real interesting to see what happens post-COVID when the churches are able to open up full speed and see how many people that have been affected by these kinds of things that the churches collaboratively did together, what that's going to mean in terms of some of them checking out church and maybe for the first time in years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're doing that online. Some of us are able to gather. Our church is able to gather right now. We're doing something called a homecoming Sunday, just reaching out to people we haven't seen in a while. We're doing it in the Redwoods on Sunday.
Great idea.
But Bill, yeah, I really think we have to fight for that unity. I mean, as of the recording of this podcast, it'll probably get put up later, but we're less than a week away from the election.
Yes, we are.
So we have to fight for that unity.
Yeah.
It's something to preserve that and to make the main thing the main thing. So we could encourage people to vote biblical values and the sanctity of marriage and life and all of these things, but if it becomes that's our hope, or we're not going to associate with people who have other convictions, then we kind of lose that. And so that's something we're going to have to fight for.
Well said. Well, that's exactly what Paul said in Ephesians 4, earnestly endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it is hard work. It is something to fight for. Well, it's time to take a quick 20-second break. You're listening to a conversation with Pastor Matt Valencia on the subject of living out the kingdom of God in these tumultuous times, and we're going to be right back.
You've been listening to Strength for Today's Pastor. Poimen Ministries appreciates your participation and prayers. If you'd like to help financially support this podcast, you can go to our website at poimenministries.com/donate. Thank you.
So we're back talking with Matt Valencia of Regeneration Church in Scotts Valley. We've heard a wonderful testimony about the unity of the local evangelical churches and pastors coming together, not with an agenda, but coming together just to learn how to love and support and encourage and respect one another. So Matt, you were asked to lead the discussion for that local pastors group, and the invitation sent out to the pastors described the title that was given, The Beautiful Kingdom of God, Maintaining Health and Unity in a Tumultuous Year. And then you added the following description. With our nation struggling with how to respond to the pandemic and lockdown, the fires in California, the racial tensions, violence, the elections, and now President Trump and Melania having COVID-19, more than ever, we need to point people to Jesus and be connected to one another. At our Zoom meeting, Matt will facilitate a discussion along with other pastors about how we can honor Jesus' example by attempting to be people who are full of grace and truth while caring for our own souls. So we've talked about some of these things already, how you personally and Regeneration Church have navigated this season, particularly in the last 8 months. But how did that discussion go that day when you led the pastors in that discussion?
Well, I think it went really well because of the relationships that we have. It was a continuation of a discussion. It wasn't like that was going to be the first time we broached these subjects with one another, because we would get together often, not just in our official once a month meetings, but now we have these friendships. So we're talking about these things as we're going. I got a prayer request from one friend before that saying, "Hey, pray for me. I'm struggling with the political division within my own church." And so talking through those things was helpful. Looking to biblical wisdom, in God's sovereignty, there was a group of maybe about 20 pastors or so outside of the Santa Cruz group, in the Bay Area. Pastor Paul Taylor over at Peninsula Bible Church, where Ray Steadman used to pastor. Mm. We were a part of a group that he had this idea. This is pre-COVID. Mm. This is pre, George Floyd and all of these things that had happened. He said, "What if in 2020, that summer, some pastors got together and we preached a series together in our own campuses, in our own way, called One Kingdom Indivisible? And what if we studied together?" So we were studying together on Zoom. We'd get together once a week and debrief. And so some churches did a 4-week. I think ours, we did an 8-week series because things started to like morph into other things. But the whole thing was seeking the kingdom of God above all else and following Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our attempt was to live with grace and truth and to uphold the kingdom above every other alliance, unity in Christ. So biblically, Bill, our premises were, number one, worship God. Our allegiance is to King Jesus, first and foremost. Secondly, to love our neighbor. We'll participate in this civic life rather than just serving our own interests. So, Philippians chapter 2, honor the image of God. So we commit to honoring the image of God in all people. And so in Genesis, where we're created in the image of God, we talked about that. So if someone says, "Hey, why don't you believe in same-sex marriage? Why don't you, why do you not think that, this thing, with LGBTQ is a thing for you to follow?" We just go back to what we're for. And, we can't touch that. We're not the ones that set up the sacredness of human life. God did that. Male and female, he created them in his image. And so in the same way that ethnicity is sacred, we would never degrade someone because of their ethnicity, because they were born with that immutable characteristic. That's why we don't touch those things, and we can't. And so that's helped us to navigate those things. We really endeavor to use fruitful speech, not being a jerk and like attacking other people. I mean, we literally said that "I commit to not being a jerk" was one of our tenets for this kingdom unity. Yeah. And, being a peacemaker, committing to face-to-face conflict resolution rather than arguing over social media or just harboring resentment towards others, and then to love our enemies, even if they were going to be different than us. We just want to show love because Jesus called us to do that.
That kind of sounds like the Christian life.
It does. Yeah. It does, but it can get so lost in, and I get it. I was very angry, I would say, before I was a Christian. And then even after I had become a Christian, Bill, I was very angry politically. After I had been walking with the Lord for a while, I started to hear myself, and I felt like I sounded like an angry talk show host.
Mm.
I just felt like I was trying to blast people, and I could blast people. I think that their ideas were stupid and they didn't make sense, and I could give logic behind it. I could give biblical wisdom behind it, but I just didn't like the fruit that was coming out. And I think seeing that has really challenged me to show love, because Jesus loved all the way to death. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There are people out there. It blows me away. One pastor was saying he has a heart for Antifa. And I was listening to him going, "Whoa, that's," and he said, "because I was one of them."
Wow. Wow.
I could show you the street on Portland that I graffitied and I did vandalism, and then I became a Christian. And so my heart is for those guys, not for what they do,
mm-hmm.
but for those people coming to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the heart that God wants us to have, that brokenness for our world.
Well, the key phrase to me in all that you've talked about, and even in the title of your talk with the discussion you led, is the kingdom of God. You called it the beautiful kingdom of God. And we remember biblically how John the Baptist came along and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then Jesus came along and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." There's a new day coming where someone's going to be sitting on the throne of the universe in a very pronounced way, and within his church and within his world. So let's get in line with that king. And that's what you guys have been doing, is getting in line with the king.
Yeah. And I think for our church, you know, to focus on the beauty of the kingdom of God and to be in his word rather than responding to every news cycle. I just found at the beginning of the year, I was glued to Santa Cruz County Health website about COVID. And then later on, I was glued to the news, and people are sheltered in homes. And I don't know if you've seen the documentary on Netflix just about social media.
Yes.
We're in echo chambers.
Yeah.
We're listening only to our own points of view, mm-hmm. and it's divisive, and it's stoking these fires. And I remember growing up, we had the 6 o'clock news and the 11 o'clock news. We had half an hour of news,
mm-hmm.
and that was our news, or the newspaper. But in the cycle that we're in, instead of responding to all of those things, let's hold up Jesus. And when the Son of Man is lifted up, he would draw people to himself. When we do that and we focus on those things, then I think we could reach out to anyone. Mm-hmm. And even if they're against us, we could just take it off of that and put it on Christ. And I'm not saying compromising, again, convictions and talking about what we think about political views or about science or COVID, but I am saying that those things have started to take over in some ways,
mm-hmm.
and have really changed the demeanor of Christians in our culture today.
So if we are going to be kingdom minded pastors and disciples, then that means we are going to be known for what we're for and not primarily what we're against. Back to the subject of the documentary you referred to, Netflix, it's called The Social Dilemma. And I would highly recommend that to watch it. And when my wife and I watched it, we were blown away. I knew mm-hmm. some of the stuff that was in there, but not at all to the degree to which they were explaining. And it really tempered me in terms of even wanting to be involved with social media. It almost made me unplug everything, but I decided not to, because what I do with social media personally is I try mm-hmm. to, I spend most of my time teaching the Bible or reading the Bible, but anyway,
yeah.
It's a challenge. It really is.
I've been challenging our people to have, even if you don't believe every news source, to just read multiple news sources, listen to multiple news sources.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important as missionaries in our world. If I were to go to another country, I would try to listen to what they're listening to try to understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So have multiple news sources, read broadly and think biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could do that, I think that it helps us to be able to engage with someone and not just cut them off.
Helps us to listen, like you were saying before.
Yeah.
Yeah, treating each other like human beings.
Right, right.
That's great. Well, since we are this far along in 2020 and through the COVID drama and all those things that have been happening, is there anything you would have done differently, since hindsight is obviously 2020, no pun intended?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, we started the year in March. We actually had late February, early March, we had our men's retreat, our Bay Area men's retreat for Calvary Chapels. We had 400 men together a week or two before and went sheltered in place to 10 people. So we were all together. And the whole theme of that retreat was 2020 vision. So, and then now in hindsight, looking back, I think one big thing is to listen more, especially with my kids. You know, for those of you pastors that are listening, if you have children that are in high school or they're adults now, they may be different politically, they may be listening to different things. And I if I could go back in time a few months, you know, 8-10 months or whatever, I think I would listen and help other people to learn to listen, so much so that I could repeat back to them. So let me see if I understand you. From what I'm hearing, this is what I'm hearing you say. And then let them be the judge of whether I really understand their point of view. And they could say, no, that's not what I meant, or no, I didn't think that. So once I finally understand that, then I could kind of give a perspective as well. And hopefully they'll give me that same respect to listen. We haven't done that well as a culture. We haven't done that well as a society. And so people aren't listening. They use reductionism to say, I heard this person say this, so they must be a blank. They must be a liberal. They must be, you know, whatever the thing is. Instead of just having these conversations and say, hey, is this what you think? I think that's something that James talks about, right? Mm-hmm. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And in 2020, we've been quick to wrath, quick to speak, and slow to hear. Mm-hmm. So we got to reverse that. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I would do differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that. That's an encouragement. So Matt, as we wrap up today's podcast episode, and it's been a great discussion, now's your opportunity to share any word of wisdom or encouragement that you'd like to share with pastors that are listening to this podcast. You got a couple minutes, anything that's on your heart?
Yeah, just, I mean, we've talked about it all. I think I would close with this. It's a guy named Bob Goff wrote a book called Everybody Always. And it's an interesting title of the book because he said, God called us to love our family. He's called us to love our friends. He's called us to love people in the church, and he's called us to love our enemies. So I guess that means everybody, always. Mm. And if we could do that, I think that, you know, again, unity is not uniformity. We don't have to compromise. Jesus was full of grace and truth, not grace or truth. And so let's just show the love of Christ. That's what we would be known for, our love for one another. And then that would enable us to be able to share the reason for the hope that's within us.
Well said. So just to ask you one follow-up question from what you just said, Matt, I know the congregation at Regen a little bit. How are they doing with all of this? How are they responding to this outward emphasis that you guys have had in terms of the kingdom? And what's been going on there briefly?
I for the most part, really, really well. Again, a point of crisis in the fires. I got to see the body of Christ serve with their gifts in ways that I'd never seen. The gift of helps, the gift of not a spiritual gift listed in the Bible, the gift of technology. These people that are helping us with our podcasts or with our, you know, YouTube Live or Facebook or all of these different things, people just coming together to step up, to feed others. That's been good. I think that it is hard. It's endeavoring, and that endeavor it's a real active, prayerful thing that we have to keep doing to keep that unity, because, man, we live in a divisive world where we're not battling against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed. I'm so thankful for the graciousness of the body of Christ. I've made mistakes, and they've been real generous and gracious with those things as well.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear on all fronts. Good to hear. Well, Pastor Matt's teachings are available at theregenerationchurch.com/teachings. And Matt, I want to just thank you again for joining us, your time, your willingness to share with our listeners, and it's good to catch up with you again.
Thanks, Bill. It's always good.
It is. It's always good. So before we go, we always enjoy your feedback with regard to not only this episode, but also we listen to suggestions for future podcast topics. So just email us at strongerpastors@gmail.com. And please feel free to visit our website, poimanministries.com, and learn how we might be able to serve you as senior pastors. So from everyone at Poiman Ministries, thanks for joining us in this podcast episode number 91. So long until next week.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poiman Ministries. You can find us at poimanministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N, ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.